Born at Sea, Raised on Radio. We are out of the main, and I am one of your co-hosts, Tom Nixon, so you must be John?
Yeah, I'm John.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a title that is the second-rate first mate.
Half of that's true.
But today I am born to dance, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
What do you know?
I think you're too slow. Yeah. To disco.
Too slow to disco. There's that. Now at this age, I definitely am.
I wasn't talking about your speed of mobility. But anyways, I digress. Welcome back, everyone, to Out of the Main. And we would like to welcome back to Out of the Main a third-time guest. So you know him as one of the co-creators of Yacht Rock Miami. We know him as Captain G. And how should we know you? Alex, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, well, I'm Alex Gutierrez, DJ Alex Gutierrez down here in Miami, and Captain G is my Yacht Rock code name.
Right. Well, it's great to have you back.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Yeah, Yacht Rock Miami was our very first syndicator of Out of the Main, so you hold that honor. Even if you drop us, you still hold that honor, so that's good.
Don't give him any ideas.
Well, we're here because the reason we have Alex on today is because we know he has a long history as a disco DJ, and not a DJ that just dabbled in disco back in the day and now, you know, does weddings and plays the occasional disco song. We're talking a longtime club DJ who has a unique take on the disco itself because it's heavily influenced maybe by location. And we'll get to all of that. But Alex, we thank you for joining us to talk about disco. If you could just give us a quick background, take us back to when you got started and how you got started as a DJ and why disco? What kind of clubs were you doing at the time?
Well, back in junior high school in 1976, I walked into a party and I saw some guy in the corner and he was playing records and people were dancing. And I said, what is this? And I stood by the guy all night long because I wasn't really getting any chicks. And so I stood by the guy playing records and I said, wow. And he would select the records. Nobody bothered him. He'd select the records and the kids would love it and start dancing. He was hearing something on one headphone and then he'd kind of blend them together. And I said, wow, I want to do that. But
also, he was beat matching back then?
He was blending.
Okay.
Beat matching, I think, came later on because this was about 76, 75. So I left the party. I bugged my parents for equipment, but obviously equipment was kind of cost prohibitive to our family who had just been here from Cuba for, you know, 13 years and it wasn't easy. So, we gathered some money and I did some yards and bag and stuff like that. And I got two BSR McDonald turntables that were belt driven. And I got a small realistic mixer.
Radio Shack.
They bought me a guitar amp, which was a Trainer. And it was coated in blue sparkly foam. So what I did was I put the mixer and I got quarter inch out into the amp head on the top. And so I started playing, you know, I started playing parties here and there and doing the same thing. And this guy from that I saw at the party, he gave me my first record, which was The Tramps, That's Where the Happy People Go. It was a 45. And I said, wow. And I started, you know, kind of buying records. Back then, records were 45 cents. And, you know, I'd save my money and do little odds and ends here and there and start buying records. And I started playing. And little by little, we started doing bigger parties and that type of thing. And then the whole, I don't think it was really known as full-blown disco because we weren't old enough. We were, you know, I was 15 years old and I wasn't old enough to get a disco, even though I had a beard start coming in. And I would go into a disco the following year. But we started doing our thing. And then at 16 years old, my beard kind of grew in. And we started going into – the only place that would let us in would be the gay clubs here in Miami. And the gay DJs were very friendly to us. And they kind of let us look, and they kind of let us, let us, being me and a partner that I had back then, they just kind of taught us about music, and we started sneaking into all these clubs, gay clubs, straight clubs, and basically we would stand by the DJ booth at night with a pencil and a piece of paper, no Shazam, nothing like that, and listen for repetitive phrases that we could write down. A big trick that a lot of the club DJs did back then, because everybody wanted to have that unique sound, was they would put black masking tape on the label. So when you looked in the DJ booth, you didn't know what they were playing.
Ah,
because everybody wanted to have their own signature sound.
Right.
Love that.
The next day we'd go to the record store and kind of go, hey, do you guys have rolling his eyes, like, get these little kids out of here, you know? But we were able to get, you know, and then the 12 inch came about. I think the first 12 inch was Moment of Truth, or no, 10% by Moment of Truth, I believe it was. And then we started buying 12 inches.
Were these records that were getting actual release where you could buy them in stores, or were they like white labels and you had to buy them out of like the trunk of a car or something?
I knew a couple of guys that would get the promo copies, the white
labels
they would get mailed to their house, but they were actual club guys, and they were in back then local record pools that would service the DJs. Later on, I did that as well. And then little by little, we started going, and then I went into the Navy, and I kept doing that in California and Maryland. And these places, everywhere I'd go, you know, kind of get a club. And my thing was always reverting back to some disco funk. So it was a crossover. It was kind of a black soul music, but it had a four on the floor, some of them. And you could hustle a little bit to it. And little by little, we got just influenced by all this stuff. And, you know, we started amassing our collection and then going to more clubs and more clubs. And then we started seeing artists at clubs and just kind of meeting DJs. DJs weren't that accessible back then. You couldn't go up. They were all behind the DJ booth that was usually enclosed. Yeah. And very few guys came out to speak to you. It was very difficult.
So you grew up, Florida, Miami, right? Was it Miami?
Right.
Okay. So that heavily Latino influenced, primarily Cuban. Is that right?
It was primarily Cuban.
I mean, that's what you are. But
the disco clubs were... Now, I'm not going to say controlled, but they were the dancers and the hardcore disco people were Italian. Later on, I would find that there's a difference between Miami disco and New York disco.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask. The Navy kind of took you around the world and you saw all these other influences, right?
Yeah, California was very black oriented, a lot of funk type of thing, a lot of loose dancing. In Miami, you had to touch disco hustle everywhere you went. You just couldn't, or you get laughed at or whatever, you know, back in the day. But as California and all these places up in Pensacola, where I was at, Maryland, all these places were mainly more funky. So there was it was more of a radio influence, like, you know, the Casey and Sunshine Band, all that kind of stuff, which was okay here and we liked it, but you wouldn't hear it at a club. You wouldn't hear Casey and Sunshine Band at a club.
But you would that was the West Coast where you would hear that?
Yeah, West Coast. But you'd hear it here on the radio, but you wouldn't hear it at a club.
Okay.
Bobby Caldwell had an early song back in 75, 76 called The House is Rocking.
Why are you sitting there alone and blue? Everybody wants to dance with you, baby. I saw you stepping out the other night.
Everybody loved that. So, like I said, there was a lot of things that were picked up by DJs here. When you listen to the New York stuff, it was a little, some of it was grittier. A lot of the South Soul influence, the Vince Montana type of influences up there. Here, it was a lot of strings and big orchestra sounding and a lot of percussion, which goes back to the Latin.
Yeah, the salsa percussion. I heard a lot of that in the list you sent us.
Yep. Exactly. They had a lot of the Latin percussion in there.
And the clave was very high. A lot of salsa patterns on the clave.
And at the same time, these clubs not only played disco, but they played salsa at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because it's danced very similarly.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what's interesting to me, well, two things. One is that, John, you didn't drop in Village Peoples in the Navy when you brought the Navy. So that was interesting. But seriously, if you fast forward to when Yacht Rock Miami gets founded, right? So you and Captain Juan have this vision for a radio station that you want to create.
Correct.
And you're bringing in a lot of these influences that to me sound like they date back to the 70s.
Yeah.
Some of the music that you bring in, and it's in part Yacht Rock, sure, but it's in part what you're describing. It's like this disco vibe, smooth, I don't know what you want to call it. And it's a very distinctive feel, what you guys do, that any other Yacht Rock station does. So is it just because it's in your DNA, or are you intentionally trying to carve out what would be the Yacht Rock Miami sound?
Well, I think that just happened. We studied the teachings of J.D. Rizdar, and we were aware of the rules, we're aware of the personnel, the total connections and all that kind of thing. But then at the same time, there was things that kind of sounded cool. And we said, hey, check this out and check this out. And I think Juan started to slip a little bit of those songs in there. And it just took on that persona, the sound of Yacht Rock Miami. Plus, when we started to go doing some outside gigs where we actually had to entertain people, we would be entertaining large Latin crowds that were familiar with all the, you know, the Kenny Loggins and the Michael McDonalds and that type of thing. But occasionally you had to get them to kind of pop their head up. So we put in a little Malo, Suavecito. I don't know if you've heard those guys. I think the guitar player was Carlos Santana's brother or cousin, George Santana. Also the brother, maybe it's the same guy, but we started sprinkling those in, and people were like, wow, you know, we get this, because it was a little bit difficult to spoon feed, like I was saying, the Jim Photoglows and the Greg Guidry's constantly. So this kind of gave the Latin spice or the Miami spice to it.
You know, this might be this song's probably a little too heavy, maybe. I don't know if you play this on Yacht Rock Miami, but one of the songs you sent, you want to talk about having that like tropical heavy percussion influence. That song, Garden of Love by Don Ray.
Don Ray was a guy that was very instrumental in all of the big disco productions. He performed he did arrangements for Cerrone. He did arrangements for Alec R. Constantinos, which was, to me, the god of disco music, club disco music, is Alec R. Constantinos. He's still alive. I think he lives in Morocco or something. But Garden of Love, you know, we used to buy a record back then. And we had to milk that record because to us, they were expensive at the time. So we take every track. Don Ray had Gotta Have Loving, Standing in the Rain. Those were his big disco hits. But he also had this Garden of Love, which was like a, you know, kind of a bouncy bossa nova type of thing.
Yeah.
And we'd play that at the beginning because you could still disco dance to it. But it was like, hey, what is that? And a lot of artists, if you really studied their records when you bought them, they all had that type of thing. Probably somebody said, hey, we need a filler song, let's do something. And so they came up with these. Sally B has it. There's like I said, most people have that one song where it's not pure disco, it's kind of a mellow sound.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How tuned in are you personally to the whole yacht disco thing? Because there is this sort of cross section, because they're both, smooth products, right? They both kind of take you to a place that lowers the blood pressure. In some of the tracks that you sent us aren't probably technically yacht disco. So are you carving out a yacht disco space, or is there something just...
I don't get the yacht disco thing a lot, because you're trying to get, you're trying to put yacht in front of like yacht goth or yacht heavy metal. You know, you're trying to yachticize everything you hear, and I guess you can't. So
what's wrong with that?
If it's yacht disco, it's disco. If it's a disco artist that was producing disco at the time, then it's not yacht disco. It's disco. And if it's yacht soul, then it's soul. I believe. So the whole thing, I guess, if you want to do a program that's called yacht disco, it's cool, and you have to connect it, which is, you know, some of the songs I sent you, I try to kind of pick those out and says, hey, this would be yacht disco, yacht soul, you know.
But I think my point is that you're opening my ears in my world up to a whole segment of disco that I probably never would have discovered. No. And it's not what I would try to shoehorn in as yacht disco.
No.
It's something else. It's this brand of smooth, which is what you get on Yacht Rock Miami. So,
right.
Is that intentional? Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, we're talking about things like the Bee Gees and some of the things that they've done, where they take a pop song, and yet they're taking little bits from the disco sound and incorporating it in the production, because it became such a huge thing in the 70s. It influenced everything. I mean, even Kiss did a disco influenced tune, right?
The Bee Gees actually were not disco. You didn't really go to a true discotheque, let's call that.
Yeah.
And dance to the Bee Gees, Night Fever. Nobody did line dancing at nightclubs.
No, wait, I saw a movie and I'm reliably informed.
Is that not a biopic?
I guess it was one segment of New York disco. Maybe it was representative. But when we saw that movie, we were like, that's not us.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
We actually could identify more with Thank God It's Friday and the disco dancing and the music that was played in that movie than Saturday Night Fever. But we could identify with the tribulations of, I think they try to make social commentary by the different races and the Puerto Rican, that type of thing. So, but here it was all...
Another West Side Story take.
Correct. Right? Here it was, like I said, when we danced with the great dancers were all Italian, there was not that friction that some of these movies portrayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the songs you had on the list that I never really associated with disco, maybe it is like a proto-disco, a pre-disco thing. Tell me why you had Lou Rawls on there, You'll Never Find.
Those first three notes, still, and I play various disco nights around town here in Miami still, those three notes still elicit screams from the crowds that go back. So Lou Rawls, You'll Never Find Another Love Like Mine, See You When I Get There, Lady Love, all those songs are all things that everyone in Miami that lived in my time knows the words to. So
Lady Love.
Yeah, Lady Love. Yeah. I'm Natural Man, but that Natural Man's more of a popish type of song. But You'll Never Find Another Love Like Mine is just one of the early songs that people would actually go out and hustle dance to.
There's another track, John, that I want to play that
let's do it.
Yeah, Alex sent us that reminded me of Herb Alpert's Rise.
Oh, yeah, sure did.
So Herb Alpert's Rise and Magic Man, say, would you consider that to be yacht disco, Alex?
If anything is yacht disco, I would say yes, that would be yacht disco, because it definitely wasn't disco.
Right.
Too
slow.
I would never have played that to an audience.
But what was the song, John?
High Gloss, You'll Never Know. Let's hear that. We'll be right back. That definitely has a Rise type of groove. I actually looked it up because I had to know who the bass player was. A guy named Timothy Allen. And so I clicked through on him, and he played with Atlantic Star. He became a big time producer with Jive Records later on. So he worked with artists like R. Kelly, Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, Chris Brown. So yeah, he was also with Billy Ocean. He was with the BB&Q band. So yeah, he was pretty.
That song was the closing song for many clubs for a while.
No kidding.
Really? It looked by many here as a ballad, not really a disco.
Mm, sort of cool down.
I guess, yeah, the cool down because of the, I guess because of the words, you'll never know. My love was vintage wine, all that kind of stuff is what the song says.
It also says Luther Vandross is in the backup vocals. Well, can you believe that? Yeah.
Wow, really?
So they did have personnel.
Yeah, there you go. So we disco, mid to late 70s. I know you've stuck with it till now. You're continuing to do disco-heavy-oriented things. But what caused it, you think, to sort of crash so heavily from the American psyche in the, late 70s, early 80s?
79.
Just too much? Oversaturation?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, I believe that Saturday Night Fever was this beginning of the demise of disco. Mm-hmm. Because then all of a sudden, everyone wanted to be disco. And one of the jokes within all the disco thing is that once Ethel Merman started to do disco, that was it. Plus, you know, you had...
Wait, can we drop that in? I haven't heard that.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow.
And so did that guy from the Boston Pops, Pop Fiedler,
Arthur Fiedler.
Arthur Fiedler,
the Boston Pops.
He did a whole disco album.
Oh man.
And then you had Mickey Mouse Disco, and then you had
Disco Duck,
Rick Dees. And then it started a lot of the stuff really wasn't disco, like Kung Fu Fighting.
Yeah.
Carl Douglas, it started to be called disco. A lot of things were being called disco that it wasn't. And then McDonald's started to do disco commercials.
Yeah.
Everyone started, Zest. Everyone wanted to get on the disco bandwagon. So it kind of started getting old. And one of my opinions is that a lot of the rock and roll stations that were around were being eclipsed by disco music because everybody had to get on that bandwagon. Mm-hmm. So there was a backlash in the back.
Yeah, we had a rock station here where you could get a card, an actual card you carried around laminated called your Dread Card, which stood for Detroit Rockers Engaged in the Abolition of Disco.
Yeah, and you remember all these Disco Sucks t-shirts and bumper stickers? Yeah.
What's that guy's name that had the Demolition Disco at Comiskey Park?
Disco Demolition. About that once. Yeah.
Dahl, that's right.
Dahl, something, Steve Dahl, that was his name. That Disco Demolition night where everyone would get in free if they brought in a disco record. And then
to burn.
And they started a riot.
Yeah.
So, it was just that type of thing that people started to kind of go against it. In the nightclubs, it was still going strong.
So who were the great disco producers? You mentioned Saronin, I guess. Is that how you pronounce it? Would you consider Giorgio Moroder in there, or is that something different?
Giorgio Moroder was probably yes, of course. He did, he did Donna Summer. He did a lot of stuff. He would be a sort of a groundbreaking producer because he incorporated a lot of the electronic sound. If you listen to a lot of his music, he actually did the soundtrack to American Gigolo. And Scarface. And, if you listen to a lot of his stuff, it's very electronic. So, yes, he's in that realm. He also did, Donna Summer's Love to Love You, Baby, and stuff like that. But we have to go Alec R. Constantinos, Cerrone, Don Ray, Boris Midney was a guy that was involved in a lot of stuff. There was a guy that was involved in a lot of stuff called Alphonse Mouzon. I think he started the group Change, which is where Luther Vandross started.
Yeah, and that Allen guy, Timothy Allen, played bass for them too. I just didn't know who Change was, so I didn't mention it. Yeah.
So Change was the other side of of disco. It came out during the disco time, but it was more of a funky. I mean, Prince in 1980 came out with I Want to Be Your Lover,
mm-hmm.
which had that that Four on the Floor, and a lot of places played that as a disco. No one danced. Rod Stewart, when he came out with Do You Think I'm Sexy?
Yeah.
And
really? That song was...
That was classified as disco. If you look at the Grateful Dead, they have a song... I wrote a series of articles before on Is This Disco? And every artist of that time had some kind of an influence. One of the stories about how they wrote Another One Bites the Dust is that they walked into a club and he goes, I want to do a song like that.
Yeah.
You can hear it.
Yeah. So a lot of these people were influenced with disco.
But you said, Alex, after like sort of the demolition of disco, that there it was still going on in the clubs. I'm curious how long it sort of perpetrated after we know it dying. Was it still alive and well for a period?
In Miami, it never went away.
Wow.
I've been playing clubs since the late 70s all the way up to today. And there was not one club where if you had a programming of both salsa and American music, as we grew up, I played at a place here called Alcazaba for 20 years, and it was in the Hyatt Regency, one of the most popular happy hours in basically the history of Miami. And always it was a mixture of current stuff, and then you went into a set of disco, salsa, back to disco. So disco, there's a Viola Wills. It has what I call the Miami Anthem of Disco, which is called Gonna Get Along Without You Now. And Viola Wills was the one that started, I think, Sugar Hill Records.
Mm.
And she's the one that I think that was responsible for Rapper's Delight. They were her family or something.
Oh, like really?
Wow.
But that song is probably the most popular song here in Miami.
What would be some modern songs or modern artists that would fit into a playlist? If you were playing a club and you're like, I want to play something post-2000 or even from today, what would you throw in?
You wouldn't be getting pure disco unless you went into the disco house genre, and those guys are producing slick, well-produced, excellent vocal type of stuff, and there's really no artist really that stand out there. I mean, look at there's a jazz band called Incognito. Incognito is a band that is a very accomplished musicians, and all their stuff has that. They have a song called Always There. They're a jazz band, but modern stuff like that. Jamiroquai did a version of Bad Girls.
Oh,
really? Go Away.
Huh. Yeah. Virtual Away. Insanity, would that go over well?
Virtual Insanity, like I said, was basically just a kind of a groove, a bridge between modern music and the disco music.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But Bruno Mars, of course, you know, he did that whole album with and he's got the other single called Skate. In a room full of dimes, you would be $100 if being fine was a crime. Girl, they lock your little fine ass up in the tower, and when you move like you do, ooh, it's like you do it for a living. A lot of the stuff he was doing was very disco flavored. Who else?
You mentioned Mayor Hawthorne. I gotta, represent the D over here because he's here's nearby in Ann Arbor. But what's the Mayor Hawthorne tune that you love?
Called Ginger Ale and Gin and Ginger Ale, something like that. It's nice. It's a great song. We played. It sort of has the background of Gotta Give It Up from Marvin Gaye.
Oh,
very nice.
Oh, is he gonna get sued by the Gay Estate again? Like they sue everybody. So I don't want to use up every song. We still got a lightning round. We got buried treasures and stuff we need to get to, Tom. Come on now.
Alex, will you stick around and join us in the lightning round?
Of course.
All right. Well, I do have something that I'm going to cede most of my time to the senator from Florida.
Yes, will I.
Okay. But I did find something interesting at sea that I could kick it off. So right. Found at sea. So this may fall into this nebulous yacht disco genre that shan't exist. But like, you know, the song, I Just Want to Be Your Everything. Right. By Andy Gibb. Right. Right. Did you know that the guitar, I'm sure you both knew that the guitar on that was played by Joe Walsh?
I did not know
if
that.
If I did, I think I knew that at one time.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I got one even better than that, though, okay. Because I'm kind of, I thought you guys would have known that one. That was the gimme. So I'm doing a little zooming around the yacht disco sphere, and Andy Gibb's Shadow Dancing album. So I'm checking out the personnel on that, and I find, for one, Don Felder is on that record, and then this tune, here's my found at sea. It's a song called Why, and it features on guitar none other than Jock Bartley from Firefall.
What? The what?
Hit it.
All right. Wow. So,
crazy. I found that at sea. I had to share with class.
All right. Wow.
John, what have you found at sea?
I have a found at sea. I'm going to take my chances here because it has to do with Saturday Night Fever. So please don't leave the podcast yet, Dr. Senator. He's got so many titles. DJ, Captain. All right. From the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, there's a few instrumentals on there. And Manhattan Skyline is one of those instrumentals, and it's by David Shire, who is a big-time Hollywood composer. So he was much more of a film score guy that made a couple of disco arrangements for this album. And one of them is Manhattan Skyline. I had to look at the personnel. It's an instrumental, so I'm saying, well, who's playing these parts, right?
Jock Bartley.
No. The guitar lead is Lee Ritenour.
Whoa!
Abe Laboriel is the bass player.
Nice.
Michael Boddicker is giving us the synths and James Gadsden on drums. So
it is
a yacht disco song.
That's it. That's the connection right there.
Yeah.
All right. So it does exist. I digress. Yeah. All right. Let's bring in the senator, Dr. Captain from Miami, Florida. We have the buried treasure and we have off the map. Which would you like to lay on us first? Buried treasure is typically the protocol.
Yeah, let me go buried treasure on that.
For 100, okay. Alex. Yes.
For 100.
Buried treasure. Gene Karn, Was That All It Was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You set that to us.
That was on the list. That's got the heavy laser drums. Pew, 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 pew. Exactly. All throughout. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Synair.
What should we know about that?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
It's just a lot of DJs used to use it as an opening type of thing because once you get into the late night, you're going at 130 beats per minute here in Miami anyway.
Wow.
Up in New York, you maintain yourself at 118, 120 the whole night because that's the sound they go for.
So do you take the slower songs that you like and speed them up? Or are you strictly picking songs that are already at that tempo?
No, you're picking songs that are at that tempo. I mean, you can take a 126 and put it up to 130, but
That's about
take
far.
A 118 and put it up to 130. But this song is a beautiful song, and her voice is just, it's incredible. And she has a lot of stuff that is just beautiful. And you play it here, and there's not one time I always start early evening with that somebody comes up and says, what is that?
I would.
And it's just a very nice song. There's a couple of remixes out there that have taken the stems and isolated the violins, and it's just goosebump material.
Nice. Very well done. Real quick, I should, I'm going to link to a playlist on Spotify that has a lot of the songs that we're referencing today and some others that may or may not be yacht disco. So that's in the show notes. So check that out if this is your jam. All right, which brings us to Off the Map. So this is a song or artist or something that does not quite fit yacht rock.
Whatever you want to do. Yeah.
Might not be yacht disco, might not even be disco, but it's pretty much free for all. What do you got, Alex?
Edwin Starr.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. Edwin Starr, you know, we all know him from War. What is he good for?
Yeah, we know it's true. It's not good for much, you know.
In the '70s.
Absolutely nothing, actually.
I guess he had to pay the rent.
Say it again. Sorry. Go ahead.
What's that?
I said say it again. I was completing the bit.
We're doing the song in the back.
In the '70s, you know, he started doing some stuff and he has a song called Contact. And if she raised her head, her eyes caught mine, and that was all that I needed. In her eyes, I saw the need for love, the war. Very, very famous down here. I was looking at you. You were looking at me. Contact. And it's all heavy, heavy, heavy percussion and in a pulsating bass line. It's
so can we hear that on Yacht Rock Miami? Is that in the playlist?
No.
it's too hard hitting.
It's too far off for Yacht Rock Miami. And Juan would never have it.
Well, I bet we could sneak it in.
Well, he goes on vacation every once in a while. We'll sneak it in.
Well, what's new at Yacht Rock Miami? Before we let you go, we really appreciate you being on. Anything we should keep our ears and eyes out for?
Constantly looking for new stuff. Juan is always working to play the stuff whenever we see people that we know. We have Yacht Rock Nation there.
Yep.
If you've been on that site on Facebook, Yacht Rock Nation, I mean, these guys know what they're talking about. And whenever we have, I think we're playing Bruce Blackman, Page 99. Mm-hmm. We always, you know, try to get stuff that people have never heard. Plus, whatever now they're coming back with the series where they're you know, yachtsking,
certifying more
stuff. So we get to put more stuff, but we always, you know, get that little flavor going in there so that people.
Do you work in a Christmas program at all this time of year, or at least like, you know, post Thanksgiving?
Maybe I did a Christmas program a couple of years ago, but there's not a lot of Christmas yacht out there.
Not really.
Basically, the same stuff. I mean, the time I did the program, I basically found everything.
Yeah. Well, we will be airing our Christmas special on Yacht Rock Miami sometime in December. So it's a rerun, but that's what happens at Christmas time, right? You bring out all the old reruns. Cool.
Right. Exactly. Right. We look forward to that.
All right. Well, thank you, Alex, for being here. This was fun. Disco, I used to think I hated disco, and I got to credit you for kind of turning me around on it.
Go to my Mixcloud and listen to all the disco stuff. And on YouTube, there's a YouTube guy. I call it the Ultimate Disco Mixes. I have six of them on there with all the best stuff. Listen to number one. That has me talking on there.
All right. What's your Mixcloud handle and what's your YouTube?
DJ Alex Gutierrez.
Okay.
And on YouTube, just go and search the Ultimate Disco Mix 1-8.
Okay.
All right. Last question for me, Alex. If you were the captain of a ship and you were on the front of the bow and you're been at sea far too long, but way in the distance, you see land. What would you say? Land?
Ho?
Close enough. Ahoy, Paloi.
Ahoy, Paloi. There you go.